Camille Claiborne, you're a nationally recognized expert in nursing and a terrific author of two books, Dying in God's Hands and Purses and Shoes for Sale, and it is an absolute pleasure and honor to talk with you today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to talk with you as well.
Tell me about the new book, Purses and Shoes for Sale. I love the title.
Thank you. The title came from taking care of my mom and dad for the last 10 years during their aging, my mom's ultimate death, and my dad's journey with Alzheimer's. And as a nurse, I was learning things I didn't know about as I cared for my parents in the community, and I thought it would be a good idea to journal and write down things that were happening to our family because other families were also caring for their parents. So I thought it should be a story, a resource guide, and some information to maybe help others navigate through this really tough yet beautiful time in one's life.
Well, you know, and it really touches me because as we market our Fearless Caregiver conferences in the community, we talk about the elements, you know, of caregiving. Are you having a hard time getting your loved one to stop driving? Can you not get your family members to help? And when you say purses and shoes for sale, any caregiver gets what that means.
Yes. It was my mom really that came with that as she talked about the simplicity of life, death, and her beliefs in Christian afterlife, that it really boils down to some simple things. You know, you live, you're going to die, let's do it well, and then pray for an afterlife if that's what you believe in. And she's the one who came up with the talk.
I love it. I love it. Hey, what have you heard from caregivers about your two books?
Well, wonderful things. I've done multiple workshops in the last few months. I know that it started from other caregivers because we are common in our soul searching to do the right thing for elders or those that are sick and dying or disabled. And I think caregivers really want to be creative, be supported by other caregivers, and talk to other caregivers like, you know, how did you do it? What happens if they can't take care of themselves at home? Or, as you said, Gary, what if they can't drive? How do you talk about that? Or how do you get all your siblings on the same page? Or are there resources for veterans? And I just thought, we are really an enormous group of men and women trying to take care of other men and women, and it's pretty cool to be in a membership called Caregiver.
Well, I, of course, think it's great. Let's talk about some of the other issues that you're deeply involved in. What is thanatology, and why does a caregiver need to know about it?
Thanatology is a study of death and dying, and I was always interested in this in my four decades as a nurse. Why often it was a surprise conversation, either after a long, beautiful life and or sometimes very tragic ending of a life. But it was a subject that people were often afraid to talk about, or it's very painful. It's tough to talk about death and dying. And so I studied during my graduate education how people prepare for death, and interviewed hospice patients so I could begin to uncover some dialogue that I might be able to give to patients and families and community members to start the conversation so we can better plan when possible for peaceful death and for quality at the end of life.
You're also an expert in the concept of hospice. Can you help us demystify what that means when we hear the word hospice and palliative care, two words, I guess?
Sure. It is very scary to think about one's own mortality as well as one that you really love and enjoy being with. But it is a fact of life that we're all going to die. It's a matter of when. And I believe that what hospice does is bring a team of multidisciplinary, talented individuals to a person that is troubled with how to deal with it, to help them not only learn how to take care of their person, but also help that person that is facing a terminal illness to be able to live their life to the fullest whether it be weeks, months, or years, or sometimes days, but to leave that legacy or say things they may never have the chance to say. So I've been volunteering for hospice for 18 years and a not-for-profit in our community to help the conversation be easier. It's always difficult, and I know it'll always be difficult because it deals with the pain and suffering of another. But I think if we continue to put it out there as something we can help with, we can demystify the conversation. I'm not sure if we can ever demystify death and dying, but we can begin to at least help people feel there's someone there to help support them.
Well, I think one of the challenges is that, you know, our doctors really try so hard to help our loved ones, but sometimes the best help they can give is to suggest hospice and palliative care, and a lot of times I think they feel that as a failure. How do we as caregivers communicate to our doctor that it's okay to consider hospice?
That is absolutely the diamond question, and my belief is that talking about palliative care and hospice as options for anybody in their life before they even get there, begin to have very healthy conversations. It's very difficult to talk about it when you're in the stress of an ICU or maybe 2 days trying to grasp what kind of illness or diagnosis you just received. And so I believe that by talking about it now, when I might be healthy or you might be healthy or feel healthy, and at least begin to articulate to those that we love what our wishes are, it lightens the load. It will never completely lighten the load. It is hard to lose someone you love. It is difficult to go through grief. That will always be because when you love hard, you suffer. And that's just part of loss. But I think the conversations at any age that at least get people's wishes out begin to help physicians not be the first one to bring the conversation up at a difficult time. They can be enforced to try and follow someone's wishes when they do get sick.
So tell me some more about both your books, Dying in God's Hands and Purses and Shoes for Sale. What is it that you wanted a caregiver to get from either one, and how do we find them?
I would love to talk about both books. The first one, Dying in God's Hands, was actual interviews with patients that were in active dying. So they were hospice patients. They welcomed me into their home and told me about their experience in life and in end of life, and talked about what they did to leave a legacy and to communicate their pain and suffering, but also to celebrate their life with their family as they went through a difficult time. So in that work, I looked at how people do prepare, how families and hospice members support them, and what recommendations could we make to communities or other people to continue to make that be a peaceful time in someone's life as they face difficulty. And I just continued to do that work after the book came out in 2007, doing hospice workshops or conversations about death and dying. They're not always the ones that people want to attend to because it has the D word in it. But
right.
I did get many caregivers and nurses and physicians and social workers and hospice folks to continue to have that dialogue. So I think my goal was to help one person, and I know through feedback that has occurred. So you can get the book through AcadianHouse.com, which is I believe you had put it on your website this coming currently, so
mm-hmm.
they can click on that button, and both books are available. When I worked on Purses and Shoes for Sale, it was an evolution of our family's 10-year journey to date. We're still on a journey with Dad. He's 93 and a half.
Wow.
The 10-year journey to kind of take apart what happens when someone goes from independence to dependence. What happens when they can't take care of themselves at home? What resources are available to bring to the home? What happens with falls and medications? And how do we take care of the financial needs of those who are at home? And then if they can't live at home, what is assisted living and what is skilled care and what is nursing care and what happens with hospitalizations. And so I just began to document the possible stages. They're not all listed there because we just have the stages, obviously, that our parents went through. And then I did literature searches on other stages that elders can go through, selling a house, and we went through that. How do you go through a house that's been lived in for 45 years, and the memories, the beautiful things, but the pain of going through things you may have to give away because you can't keep everything. And then I also documented resources in the book, the living wills, the Bill of Rights, how to prevent falls, how to develop an obituary or an epitaph for someone's gravestone, or medication safety tips. So I did a few things in that book that took my nursing experience and my family experience, and then also what I had learned from death and dying, to take it a little step further to let's put all these conversations out and talk about how difficult it may be to take care of your parents, but what a joyful, beautiful gift that God called me to do, to continue to take care of my dad. And now I'm doing work on Alzheimer's. I want to do more work on that to help children and spouses that are taking care of a partner or a friend or a parent that has Alzheimer's.
If you only had one piece of advice to share with a family caregiver, your most important piece of advice, what would that be?
That is a great question, and I think the most important thing I would tell them is, while you may look for what can I do and how can I do it better, they should always remember their presence is the most important thing on this journey, that when we're totally present and open with somebody in need, we can be open to the learning experience and find out what is best for them. Not necessarily what we know in the book, because sometimes we learn something and then our loved one takes a different road, or their illness becomes a little bit darker, particularly with Alzheimer's and dementia. So to know even presence, whether we can physically do anything that can change their situation, is oftentimes impossible. But our presence alone and acknowledging people for being present, that's what I do. I tell caregivers all the time, you are doing the work of the world. And don't stop, because it's so important.